Welcome to Call of Duty, Real Soldiers, Real Stories. It is often believed that life in the army is serious business. But if I say it's full of humorous encounters too, would you believe me? If not, then you surely must listen to this episode 2 of Season 3, where our guest, Colonel Ajay Bhotan, takes us through some of his hilarious stories along with the professional ones. In conversation with Nandita Shankaran.
Welcome to our podcast, Call of Duty, Real Soldiers, Real Stories. Here we are in our season 3. And today we have with us Colonel Ajay. Welcome, sir. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
So, sir, we usually would want to know about our guest's childhood as to how you were as a child and how things progressed in your life and what led you to join the army. So why don't you tell us something about it?
My father comes from a farmer background. My mother's parents were in the civil services. But my father worked hard and he joined army. So he was also in EME. So I am a second generation officer. And in the current lingo, like they refer to as army brats. So I am a brat now. And over a period of time, moved with father wherever he had gone. We moved along with him. We stayed with him. Whether his units are there, we used to visit his units. Basically, he's an EME officer, so we visit workshops. So I developed this, you know, technical bent of mind. And I developed interest also into technology. And I think so, over a period of time, that led me into thinking, you know, if I join army, then I should join the corps of EME. And in 88, I got commissioned, June 88. Before that, in 84, I joined NDA. So in fact, that was also a big, big learning for me because I had it in my mind that I have to join army. There was no other option. So even all the competitive exams, I gave only two competitive exams. One was NDA and one was AFMC. And NDA exam, I cleared my written, but unfortunately, for four times, I could not make it in the SSB, that is the Service Selection Board. And it was in my fourth attempt that I made it. So that, you know, gave me a lesson of perseverance. Keep at it and one day you will succeed. So this is how I joined NDA, and that is actually the time when my army career started.
That's very interesting, sir. And it's very nice to know about such a diverse background that you come from, both your maternal and paternal grandparents. And sir, it would be really nice if you could explain to us, what does EME stand for?
EME is basically a corps of electronics and mechanical engineers. We and the corps are responsible for keeping all the military equipment which is in the Indian Army up to date, on road, always in serviceable condition, so that, you know, when there comes a time of using the equipment, you know, it is there with you and it is performing as per the parameters which it is supposed to perform. Let it be weapons, let it be your vehicles, let it be your radars, let it be your communication equipment. So we are responsible for the complete array of military equipment, of maintaining it.
Wow, that is a very unique branch that we have heard of, because till now our guests haven't been from this. So thank you for that. And ironically, I am also a fourth attempt chartered accountant, so I know what it feels like. So moving on, sir, I would want to know more about your training after your SSB clearing. How was it?
I joined NDA in 84. I joined a little late because that time, you know, communications were not there. Today you have got emails, you have got mobile phones. So the moment you are selected, you are sent an WhatsApp or email which comes to you. So that time my father was posted somewhere, the joining letter, it came about 2 weeks late. And that time in NDA, we used to have our first term near Pune. There was a place called Ghorpudi. But the day I landed, there was a swimming test which was going on. Whenever the freshers come, they grade them into how good you are at swimming, because swimming is a compulsory, you know, test for everybody. Every officer who joins the Indian Army, he has to know swimming. So they were grading it. okay, you are a poor swimmer, you are a good swimmer, or you are a sinker. So there are three categories. Neither you go into the pool and then you start sinking. You can't even swim one length. So being from the Fauji background with my father, I was an extremely good swimmer. So I had no problem. I'll just go and swim across and I'll be a very good swimmer. Unfortunately, the same day when the test was there, I did not have my swimming kit with me. So there was no swimming trunks with me. So I told my ustad, I cannot go because I don't have a swimming trunk with me. I was not issued with one. I had just landed. So he said, so what? You go in your underwears. Oh, I said, okay, no problem. I took off my pants and I was in my underwear. And then they made it all start at the starting blocks. And he says, when you hear the whistle, you jump inside and you cross to the swimming pool. And that was the test. So being a good swimmer, the moment he whistled, instead of jumping, I dived. You know, you dive headlong. And when I went inside the water, I found that I had lost my underwear. Now it became very embarrassing. So now I was inside the pool and I was doing, you know, scuba diving sort of a thing. And I was searching for my underwear. Where is it? I cannot come out like that. So they thought that I had drowned. And then, you know, they gave a pole. A big pole comes so that you can catch on to it. The sinkers can come and catch on to that pole. And that pole hit my head. So I thought, no, what is happening? Like, people are trying to, you know, bully me or what is happening? So I didn't take that because I was still searching for my underwear. And then two people jumped in to save me. And luckily by the chance, I had taken my underwear and I had put it on. And they caught me out. I can swim. No. They caught me by my neck the way they, you know, catch all sinkers. And they made me sit outside. He says, sinker. And I was so aghast. I am a very good swimmer. I can't sink. He said, no, you are a sinker. So I was made to sit in a separate line and I was termed as a sinker. Now what happened in that bargain? All such people who were poor swimmers and sinkers, they used to be given extra class for swimming. And when was that extra class? That extra class was taken post lunch. Now when the complete other batch is sleeping, I am in the swimming pool swimming. So at that time, your sleep is very important. Okay? So much of physical ragda is going on. So I was there swimming. And the first day when I went for that, I swam and I swam very well. Now he said, you are a swimmer. You deliberately failed. So, you know, there's things kept on moving like that. But slowly and slowly, they realized what went wrong. And as a, you know, sinker, they made me in charge of teaching swimming to the other people who were sinkers there. So that was one very, very embarrassing incident at that time. But now when I tell my children, I tell my wife, so this is what happened with me, they all have a very good laugh at me. And no doubt, the NDA, you would have interviewed many other officers who were from NDA. That it is tough. It is not a cakewalk there. And initially, I was physically also not very, very, you know, strong and did not have that much of stamina. But in those 3 years of training, like they say, NDA is makers of men. If you go to NDA, there's a board which is there, you know, NDA makers of men. So that was how NDA training was there in my first term. And slowly we moved to a second term. That was in the main NDA, that is Khadak Basla. So I think I was prone to such incidents because a similar incident happened there also. Not for swimming, that was for grading of Hindi. My mother, she was PhD in Hindi. So I was quite good at Hindi also. Means, okay, I cannot be grammatically very, very strong in that, but read, write, whatever, I can do it in Hindi. First day when we landed at Khadak Basla, they had this, again, Hindi grading test. Because so many cadets, they come from very varied backgrounds. Somebody's coming from South India, somebody's coming from Northeast India. So they want to grade them into classes. So what they do is, the best ones, they go to class 1. And the ones who do not know Hindi, they go to class 6 or 7. So they are given special attention. And what happened on that day, I was running very high fever. So I just could not take that exam properly. And as luck would have it, I failed in that. And again, I was graded very poor in Hindi. And I was made to join class 6. And I was studying ka, kha, ga, ga. That was so basic for me. But good thing happened is that I topped the class. That was but natural. So lessons are there. Had a very, very good time in NDA. You develop a lot of spirit. Because when somebody does anything wrong, you know, nobody tells ki he's done it wrong. We all as a course, as a batch, we stand by that person and we all take that ragda along with him. And like today also, like all my batchmates, we all are so thick friends. Anywhere, anytime, any problem comes, we are all there for each other. That was how, what was NDA for me.
Wow, sir, thank you. That was a very elaborate and a very hilarious description of NDA, year one and year two. And clearly, you were prone to trouble and prone to top the bottommost class. So, after NDA, how did the army life shape up? Something about your postings, something about your life in the army, and surely some hilarious incidents, sir.
After NDA, we went to IMA. IMA was the actual starting of army life. Now, NDA is combined. You have got army, navy, air force together. And IMA is the first place where you, you know, put on the olive greens. In NDA, you used to wear khaki. Everybody is wearing khaki because everybody is having the same uniform. And that is how, where, you know, one really gets battle hardened, like you say in IMA. It is really very, very, very tough. There we learned how to make, you know, good of situations where you are in the worst possible situation. And I remember one incident, we were going on a route march. And in Dehradun, in summer, it becomes quite hot also. It is not that it is very, very salubrious climate. It became very hot. And we had a long route march, a good about, I think so, 20, 25 kilometers. And then we had to climb a mountain also. So in that bargain, we finished all our water. There was no water with us for the next about 10, 15 kilometers. And we were absolutely like on the verge of dehydration. And peeche se na, when we are walking about 20 of us together in one file, peeche se awaaj aayi, I love you, Rasna. Main kaha, hello, we don't have water and you are recollecting Rasna. So somebody said, no, not Rasna. I wish I can give you a bottle of beer now. So now just see how we are, you know, enjoying ourselves even in that. We were really on plucking leaves from trees and, you know, putting leaves in our mouth and chewing them so that at least some moisture goes inside. And there are some of us who are saying about Rasna and beer and let's have a chicken party when we finish this. So we never, you know, faced any, you know, tough situations where we cried ki hai, why we have come here, what will happen to us. So this is how we are groomed into it. This is how we are trained into it to, you know, live through the very tough situations. That was how my IMA career, it came to an end. And then is all history. I joined EME, and because I had to join EME, I was very lucky that I opted for EME and I got EME. And guess where my first posting was? I went to fight war in Sri Lanka. And that too not with EME. I did an attachment with infantry in operations. Landed in Chennai after my journey through India, and then from Chennai was airlifted into Jaffna. And that was the time when, you know, it was in the peak of exchange of firing, a lot of militancy was there at that time. And from Jaffna, when I was moving to my location where I was there, so many, you know, trucks blown off, so many buses blown off, so many buildings blown off. So that was the time when I realized, oh, now I am into the real thing. It is no training now. I cannot, you know, rely on training. I have to rely on what has been taught to me now, and I have to put it into action. There, I was a teetotaler, so I never used to drink. I was. There is a custom in army that when you join a new unit, they dine you in, and at times they wine you in. Like it's a custom. Okay, they offer you a drink, you drink, and then you are part of the family. Then, so for about 1 or 2 weeks. There was no liquor available in Sri Lanka. We were all fighting. So nobody's bothered about I got a whiskey or you got a beer or something like that. So after about 2 weeks, when there was a little pause, so liquor fetched up. And that time, you know, I was a peak of my youth. I'm getting a chance to have liquor. So I was like that. And we all sat in the mess. And believe you me, I had a glass. And before I could take a sip, you know, firing started on our post. And now, I said, liquor to gaya, kaam se. My senior subaltern, who was just senior to me, 6 months, he was there. He says, where is your helmet? So I said, sir, here is my helmet. Put on the helmet. Well, he has been there for some time. I have just joined. So he knows everything. He says, put on your helmet. I said, okay, now. I took the helmet, I took my rifle. I said, okay, now I will go in for action. He says, no action for you. You just put on your helmet and sit down here. We will take care of everything. So this is how they treat you, because initially it takes time for you to adjust to that battle life. And that is what family is of Fauj. Yeah, later on though, we had a lot of operations, a lot of incidents which happened there. It took time and I really got, battle hardened and battle worthy. I became so confident that towards the end of my, tenure there, my company commander used to tell me, "Arey, yaar, you are not Amitabh Bachchan. Don't think that you can handle everything on your own." Drop of a hat, I used to take my rifle and go out. So in one incident, I remember that somebody dropped a grenade where we were staying. It was lucky that grenade did not explode. It had Pakistani markings on it, and Pakistani things don't work at times. We got cautious, who has thrown it? We saw somebody running. And then we always had a QRT, quick reaction team. So we had a QRT there with us who are always, booted up. And they are sitting, sleeping there with their weapons. Immediately activated that QRT, but we were in a village. So, moving off a vehicle is very difficult, a lot of crowd there. So we went on foot and we started running. And there were two, militants which are ahead of us, they were also running. Distance between them was not, reducing. So I saw a school where a lot of cycles were parked there. So I thought it's best, why to run? Make use of these cycles. So I went, I picked up a bicycle and I told my five boys there, I said, "Ek ek uthao, jaldi se aur aao." And I started pedaling fast and those two boys are running and I am going after them in their cycle. And later on, those two boys, they disappeared into a small hut in a field. So I said, no problem. Now I know I held them. I got down from my bicycle and I looked behind. There was not a soul in my sight. But I said, where are those five boys which are there? Now there are two of them and I am only one. What is going to happen now? So kuch nahi. I, like a true soldier, apna aram se ped ke piche aad lekar ke, I kept, and waiting for them. And I found after about 5 minutes, everybody is running and coming. I told them to take cycles. That time was not there to, shout and ask them why you are coming running and why you did not take the cycle. We carried out that operation and we rounded up those two. Without killing them, we could round them out. That was a very, big achievement. Killing is very easy, but, apprehending them is a difficult task. And later on, when the debrief was started, I asked those five boys. Incidentally, they were all Gujarati boys. So I asked them, मैंने कहा तुमको बोला था साइकिल में क्यों नहीं पीछे है सब साइकिल चलाना नहीं आता. So that was the time I, these things were taught during training and then I realized, oh my God, they always used to teach us, know your men. Now you should know your men, what are his capabilities, what he can do for you. If you don't know your troops well, like they said, for you know your enemies, you know your friends, you should know everybody. And then I started interviewing everybody, started asking me what is the capability of whatever. So that was one time which I feel that I was quite close to, being on the other side of the, bullet. But luckily I got saved and one more lesson up my sleeve. That was from my Sri Lanka tenure.
True. So multiple things from being battle hardened to learning a lot on the job. To knowing your men, I think you are truly lucky on that account also. After the Sri Lankan tenure, were you there throughout the war and do you have any more instances to share with us?
After finishing my attachment with the unit, I was coming back to India on a course now. So that means like my Sri Lanka was behind me now. So when we finally boarded that flight from Jaffna airfield, we were all 2-3 coursemates. We took a photograph and we captioned it also. Last sight of Sri Lanka and all that. Okay, bye-bye. It was tough. It was a very tough tenure and we were happy that we are out of it. Nobody wants to go into, battle just like that. And we said, okay, good memories. We all are coming back alive, unscathed. Everybody is good. I went on a course and from that course, I got my posting again. And now, what luck would have it, that unit was in Sri Lanka only. So, I went back there. So that photograph of last night of Sri Lanka had no relevance now. I was back there in Sri Lanka. But now, I was in an EME unit. Like, we were there deployed. We were handling not an infantry task, but we were deployed for maintaining equipment. So, at that time, I went to Vavuniya. There's a place in Sri Lanka. And so, I was stationed there for good about 1 year. Normal work there, plus little bit of infantry task also, because everybody has to pitch in. So we all pitched in, and finally when the IPKF, that is the Indian Peacekeeping Force, they returned from Sri Lanka, so we all got them back, and then our unit moved to Allahabad. So that was the final end of India's tryst with Sri Lanka, that is the Op Pavan.
Yes, Operation Pavan. We have heard of that in detail in one of our previous episodes in season 2. So thank you for that, sir. So after Sri Lanka, you said you were at Allahabad, and I'm sure you've had many more postings. So why don't you share some more very interesting incidents?
That was my first, you know, tenure in Allahabad, where we actually started doing technical things. So like, I was totally overwhelmed with the amount of technical knowledge which I could gain there. You know, you have got telecommunication equipment, you have got radar equipment. They're all varied types of equipment. You have got vehicles, you have got tanks. So I used to feel so this thing, okay, I can learn this also, I can learn this also. Although humanly it is not possible, I cannot learn everything. But I had so much of, you know, technology available with me, my people who you could teach me. And slowly and slowly, yes, I developed where I want to go. We go in for engineering post our commission in the army. There are 2-3 entries. Somebody is already an engineer when he comes to the army. And there are some officers like us who come into the army, join army, and then they go for engineering. So I went for engineering thereafter.
So moving on to your family, sir, why don't you tell us something about your family and how they stood by you through all your years of tenure in the army?
My wife, she is from a total non-Fauji background. So in fact, when we got married, she did not even know I was an officer or a jawan in Fauji. We started off like all you know, young married people start off having a very small room with, you know, 3 trunks and 1 bedding. You start your home, and then slowly and slowly you build your home. My wife, a homemaker plus an educationist, throughout her life she has been in the teaching profession. I got 2 sons. Both my sons developed interest for law, and my elder son, he finished his law from National Law University, Patiala. My younger son, he's just finished his law from Symbiosis. And he's just taken his exam for OTA. He also wants to join army. So that is our small hum do, hamara do parivar.
That is a beautiful summation of the hum do and hamare do. And so if you can recollect any more hilarious incidents in your style.
I was posted in Leh. Leh is in Ladakh. And Leh is not a good market. If you have been and you have heard about it, Leh is not a good market. And from an EME point of view, if I want to repair something, I don't get things there in Leh. So I have to get it from the, you know, either from Delhi or from Chandigarh. So whatever we used to want, na, we used to tell somebody coming from Chutti, "Achha yaar, you are in Chandigarh, you are coming here tomorrow, you please get this thing along with you." So one incident happened that one senior officer decided to visit my small unit. And we were not prepared for it. So we had to prepare. No, in those days, there were no PowerPoint presentations. There were no laptops and there was no screens. We used to make, there were view foils of plastic, of, you know, that polythene type. And we used to write with a OHP marker and, you know, make that presentations there. So I thought best is to use stencils to make a presentation. Somebody was coming and I gave him a call. Nenaka, you are coming from Chandigarh tomorrow or day after. You please get stencils along with you. So he said, "Sir, which ones?" So I said, "Get a mix of them. Kuch bade wale, kuch chote wale." And then in these exact words which I said. And Manika, don't forget it because it is very, very important. Good. And we are now all waiting. Tomorrow he will come and he will get that. And we'll make all those slides and we'll make a presentation. So, and we are keeping a track. Haan, wo flight chal gaya? Chal gaya. Achha, wo flight land hogi Leh mein? Land hogi. Then his call comes from there. कि साहब मैं लैंड कर गया हूँ, आपने जो सामान मंगाया था वो मैं ले आया हूँ, साहब एक ट्रक भेज दो। सो मैंने कहा, ट्रक भेज दो यार, स्टेंसिल्स ये तो ब्रीफकेस में आ जाएंगे, इतने से स्टेंसिल्स हैं। सो नो सर, वो सामान थोड़ा ज्यादा है, तो आई थॉट ही मस्ट बी थिंकिंग अबाउट, यू नो, पर्सनल सामान ज्यादा है या ही वुड हैव गॉट समथिंग फॉर समबडी एल्स ऑल्सो। सो आई सेंड अ ट्रक, कैन यू बीट इट, ट्रक वॉज फुल ऑफ व्हाट ही गॉट फॉर मी एज स्टेंसिल्स। तो मैंने कहा, ये क्या ले आया तू? कहता, साहब आप ही ने तो बोला था। मैंने कहा, मैंने स्टेंसिल बोला था, यूटेंसिल्स नहीं बोला था। सो ही गॉट यूटेंसिल्स एंड देयर वाज अ कढ़ाई, देयर वाज अ डेगची, बिकॉज़ आई हैड टोल्ड हिम, मैंने कहा अपने अपने साइज के, अपने अपने हिसाब से ले आना। एंड नाउ आई हैड सो मच ऑफ यूटेंसिल्स अवेलेबल विद मी, अब मैं करूंगा क्या इसका. अल्टीमेटली प्रेजेंटेशन तो वी मेड इट वट एवर हाथ से बना, बट माई रेस्ट ऑफ द टेन्योर यू नो वॉज की किसी को मैं ये कढ़ाई दे दूँ, समबडी प्लीज बाई दिस कढ़ाई फ्रॉम मी, समबडी प्लीज बाई दिस डेक्ची फ्रॉम मी. सो माई रेस्ट टेन्योर वेंट लाइक दैट ओनली. So that is how art of communication came in, you know, not communicated properly, and instead of senses, utensils came.
Sir, you should have known your man better even at that point of time. But really hilarious. So along with being a Fauji, now you were a businessman also trying to sell away your excess goods. That's interesting, sir. So do you want to share how your life was in general as an EME officer? Any incident about any one repair that you did, something that you always remember and talk about?
In addition to repairs and maintenance, there is one more activity which EME carries out, and that is again which I have got very, very, you know, big memories of that. And that is called as recovery operations. I was posted in Leh. A vehicle went down about 2000 feet down in the river. So how to get it back? So, and the roads are so narrow, that becomes a challenge. There was a water tanker. It fell down into the Indus River. And in luckily, no casualties, nobody injured. He just skidded off the road and he went inside. And the temperatures in Leh are minus. So when I went in for recovery, that our first, you know, task in recovery is you empty that vehicle. You know, why should you want to fetch you a vehicle which has got so much of, you know, load inside it? So I said, take out the water and then we'll pull it up. We could not do it because water had frozen inside. It was all ice. So you could not take out that ice. So only if it is converted into water, and that will take place next summer. And that is after about 7-8 months. So for 7-8 months, you cannot keep a vehicle, you know, lying there. So I had to get about 4-5 of these vehicles, recovery vehicles, and place them at such places, you know, all of them pulling together, and a lot of calculations are involved. It is not very brute force that you just, you know, pull it and it comes. A lot of calculations involved, because there have been many cases, you know, instead of pulling, your vehicle only goes down.
Thank you for adding that part of recovery vehicles. Before we say goodbye, we would want to know a small message.
One lesson which I learned there, which I can share, and I can, you know, if it is possible, you know, it should be spread to everybody. And I keep telling all youngsters, all children also, you know, that time I had a choice ki you have to select your stream. So I had a choice between mechanical and electronics. And electronics, as it is at that time also, it was, you know, the in thing. Okay, when you do electronics, you'll do computers and you'll do... So like, I got confused. My last resort was my dad. My dad was also in EME, retired though at that time. I asked him, like, dad, I'm confused. What should I take? He says, what is your interest? I really love tanks and I love mechanical engineering. So then where is the doubt? You take mechanical engineering, then I go, but it does not have that bright a future which electronics has. So don't worry about it. You have your interest, you do it. And believe you, Vinandita, all courses of mechanical engineering which I have done thereafter, I'm a gold medalist in all courses. Because reason being, that I tell everybody, Manika, do anything which you are interested in. If you are forced upon to do something, you will never excel in it, and you will not even like doing it. And that is my, you know, mantra of life, which I have always followed throughout my life. If you have interest, please join army. Every opportunity is available here for you. You have your interest, complete that interest. You will serve yourself well. You will serve the nation well.
I really hope that these words truly inspire the generations to come. That is our whole motto of this podcast. So thank you so much for coming here and sharing with us so much about your life in the army.
Thanks, Nandita. Thanks, Pragati. Thanks, Mrs. Joshi. It has been really an honor and privilege. Really, if you ask me from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much.
Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of our podcast, Call of Duty, Real Soldiers, Real Stories. And if you have any queries, do write to us on podcastcallofduty@gmail.com. And do not forget to like our Facebook page, Call of Duty, Real Soldiers, Real Stories. And do follow us on Instagram on Call of Duty Podcast. Keep listening.